Now turn in your Bible, please, to Mark's Gospel and chapter 11. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11. Read, please, at verse 1. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and found the colt, tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loosened. Now turn back in your Bible, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah, and chapter 14. Read, please, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Now look back to the New Testament, please, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so will we believe also, that them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive, and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, there is one final verse I want you to turn to, please, in the book of the Psalms. Psalm 85. Read at verse 7. Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Now God will bless these four readings of his holy word. As you probably have recognized, we have linked these verses together in our thinking as four meeting places. And each of these meeting places proclaim a truth of God's glorious gospel. The first one that I want you to notice is a place where two ways meet, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11, and verse 4. And it presents for us the arresting truth of the gospel. God's gospel arrests man. It brings them to a place of choosing. Men, when they hear the gospel, make a choice. Every time they hear it, they make a choice. That's the purpose of the gospel, to bring members of the human race, of Adam's sin-ruined race, to the place where they make a choice. God will never force His gospel on any man, never. He presents it, and man makes his choice. And this gospel meeting, everyone present is going to make a choice. Now in our second reading, we read about the gospel's revelation. The gospel reveals the world to come. And we read from Isaiah 14 and verse 9, very, very solemn one. The gospel reveals that hell from beneath is yearning. That's the word for move. Just like a person's emotions that are yearning. A mother yearning for her son or her daughter. Hell from beneath is yearning to meet thee. I come. A very solemn revelation of the gospel. In our third reading we read of the gospel's message of anticipation. We're going to meet the Lord in the air. Those that are saved. That's the anticipation that the gospel message gives to those that are saved, to meet the Lord in the air. Finally, we read of a meeting place, of the gospel's invitation. The meeting place of Calvary. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. And I trust tonight that the message of Calvary's invitation will reach some waiting heart and give you a desire to know your sins all forgiven and your soul secure and saved from the wrath to come. Now notice with me first again then, if you will, in Mark chapter 11 and verse 4, the gospel message that we have brought before us here, the arresting power of the gospel that brings men to the place of meeting of two ways. The choice is to be made. Just as when you are in an automobile, or you may be hiking, or you're on your bicycle or whatever, and you're following a map, and you come to a crotch in the road, and you look down the map, and you wonder which way, where will this take me? Where will this one take me? And then you make your choice. Well, friend in the meeting tonight, the gospel presents the way of life and the way of death, and man must make his choice. The gospel presents Christ in all the fullness of his saving work, and the gospel presents the reality and the true character of the world, and man will make his choice. The gospel presents the realities of eternal life and the realities of eternal death, and man must make his choice. Now I believe there are those in this meeting tonight, some of you have been attending well in the meeting, and to this point in your own acknowledgement, you are not yet saved. But we thank God tonight that there are some with us and they would like to be saved. They would like to know their sins forgiven. They would like to know heaven as their eternal home. They would like to know that they are right with God. My friend in the meeting, let me say to you, these gospel meetings have brought you to a place of new age. And I trust that everyone who is here, I believe there are some here tonight, and you were raised in Sunday school, like in the gospel hall or elsewhere, and years have rolled their course, and you have thought that successfully you have evaded this great question that must be settled, that you make your choice. No, friend, you've not evaded it. Up until now, you've chosen the wrong path. And tonight, you're found in this gospel meeting, and God has brought you again to see heaven or hell, for all eternity, is in the balance of this gospel meeting tonight. Now, when persons are brought to this place, there are various reactions. I want to think with you of three characters in the scripture, very briefly, to bring them to your attention. Some of them will be a warning to you. Others, I trust, will be an encouragement to you. But above all, my friend, as you listen to the message of divine truth from the Scriptures tonight, remember, you are going to make a choice. Neutral, a man cannot be. There is no middle ground. It is either yes or no with God. It is either to choose Christ and go in for salvation, or to choose the world and perish at the last. And I hope that you will recognize there's only one choice that is really worthwhile, and I hope that you'll go in for it with all your heart. God's salvation. I want you to think of a man named Pilate. You will recall the history of dear Pilate, poor, miserable old man. And history, secular history, tells us that Pilate died a demented man. From the time that Pilate made the wrong choice concerning Christ, he went downhill. And poor Pilate, he lost his position in politics, and he lost his mind, and he lost his life. And poor Pilate died a miserable, miserable, demented man. And the cause of it was because he made a wrong choice when he was confronted with Christ. Now the choice that Pilate made was motivated, if you will, by various factors. His wife had something to do with it. And the people that he was facing, they had something to do with it. And the Lord Jesus himself had something to do with it. And then there was Pilate's own mind about matters. And he finally weighed it all up. And he's standing that day in a most serious position. I don't suppose that anyone in this meeting tonight could fathom or conceive what it must have meant to that dear man Pilate to stand face to face with the Son of God. And the life of the Lord Jesus was in his hand. Well, I know as you sit quietly and comfortably in this meeting tonight that you may not consider that you are in such a predicament or in such a position. But I do want to say to you, friend, the gospel presents Christ. God, through the gospel, is presenting a living man. God's gospel is not presenting a philosophy or a religion. It's presenting a person who can be trusted to save your soul from wrath and fit you for heaven. That's the great choice that's in the gospel. And when Pilate was looking under the marred, beaten, swollen face of the Lord Jesus, with spittle running mingled with his blood, his hands tied, and standing before dear Pilate, that poor, miserable man, likely the sweat came up on his brow, when the question comes from his lips, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" Well, the choice must be made. What'll I do? Now you'll notice in his question, he acknowledges something about the Lord Jesus, and the question came right from his heart. This man is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. My friend, tonight, that makes the question tremendously solemn, and it makes this meeting solemn tonight. I hope that I can that I may somehow convey to you the solemnity of coming face to face with this matter. It isn't just a question of changing and reforming your life. It's what you do with God's Christ, the Lord Jesus. That's what's in the balance here tonight. And poor Pilate, he listened to the crowd. And he listened to his wife. Oh, how many there are who are influenced by what their wives say. Men will sit in gospel meetings like this, and they'll listen to the preaching of divine truth, and they know within their heart that they should be right with God. They know that their sin is their problem. They know that they're going on to meet God, the God of eternity, and secretly within their heart, there's a battle rages. They'll see their wife. Afraid of what she'll say. They're afraid of what she'll do. If he was to go in for God's salvation. There are women here tonight, and they're afraid of their husbands. The husband maybe already has voiced his absolute rejection of anything to do with Christ, or the Bible, or the gospel. The woman will tremble. She thinks of what her husband might say. That's what Pilate did. Then he heard the voices of the people out there. The world is against Christ, and you can believe it, friend, the world is against Christ, and if you want to prove it, just try talking favorably about him. You'll soon find out. Just try to tell men and women of what God thinks of Christ and of how much their eternity is in the hands of Christ. He will determine where they will be forever and ever. Just try telling people that, and you'll see what the world's opinion is of Christ. And that's what Pilate had to face. They mocked the Lord Jesus. And they blasphemed him. They swore at him. And they raised their fist and pummeled his face. And they cried for his blood to flow. That's what the world thinks of Christ. And Pilate, when he faced that, I can surely see the sweat rise on his brow now. Fears in the world. The men that he has to face in the street, they're all going to laugh at him if he makes a choice for Christ. They're all going to cry for his blood. But I want to tell you, friends, it'd be better to die and have Christ than to live without him. Ponder that choice. Pilate made the wrong choice. Listen to his heart. He listened to a mocking world. And the moment he made the choice, his doom for hell seat, he never got over it. It bored into his mind. But he lost his reason. He died a miserable man. And went to hell. He made the wrong choice about Christ. Be wise, young man. Be wise, my dear young woman here tonight, dear father, dear mother. Remember, two ways meet in a gospel meeting. Which will it be? Christ of the world, God's salvation, or your sin, heaven, or hell? That's what's in the balance in a gospel meeting like this. I have not the time to notice others with you. Let the example of that poor, miserable man give you tonight, my friend, the courage to say within your own soul, I don't care what my relatives think, and I don't care what the world's going to say about me. I must get Christ as my Savior, or I will die in my sins and wake up in hell forever lost. I want God's salvation. And I want to say, my friend, the devil will see to it that every conceivable object will be put in your way to hinder you. And if you're going to get God's salvation, my dear man, you're going to have to make far more effort than you're making right now. The devil will see that you don't get it. And the world will fill your life with business and every other conceivable thing. But I want to say to you, if you get a hold of this reality tonight, a choice must be made for heaven or hell. Then, my friend, surely you will recognize there's nothing, there's no one in all this world that must deter me from going in to God's salvation, or you will forever perish. Gospel, the lesson that brings men to the place of two ways. Must make a choice. And when you rise from that chair, my dear lady, tonight, we appreciate your presence with us. I say to you sincerely, but when you rise from that chair and go out that door, you have made a choice. Christ or the world, which will you go in for? May God give you help tonight upon that chair where you sit to make a choice for Christ at any price, that you might be saved. So you will not wake up in hell. That leads me to my second reading in Isaiah chapter 14, and verse 9. We read those most solemn words. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Oh, so solemn is the language. It is almost too solemn for human lips to utter. The very thought. These words are pregnant with meaning. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. How solemn are these words. My friend, let me notice with you three very revealing truths regarding hell. First of all, I want you to notice the proximity
of hell to mankind. Hell from beneath.
This little earth upon which we live tonight, my friend, is but a very shallow crust. There's a real hell. And beneath that chair where you are sitting so comfortably tonight, there is the very yearning bowels of the damnation of hell. It was not created for men, but men are choosing it. They're not choosing Christ. They're choosing the world and their sin. And they're following the pursuits of that pathway, and they all lead to hell by divine revelation. God does not want you to be there, but that's where the path goes. And this is what awaits them. Underneath that crust tonight, my friend, there burns the yearnings of a real hell, of sorrow. Every step you take, my dear young man, you are walking upon the thin ice between you and hell. My dear young woman, every step that you take in your home, in your business, on the street, in your auto, upon your bed, by your table, there's only a brittle thread that keeps you out of hell. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Oh, my dear friend, may I appeal to you tonight. Whatever you do, you face the divine revelation. There's only a step between you and hellfire. But I want you to notice as well, the revelation of God in this passage is most solemn in this respect also. There are men in hell. That's what the verse says. There are living souls in hell. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. My, what a solemn moment it must be when a human soul, leaving its little vessel of the body, the soul and the spirit takes its flight. And if that soul has made the wrong choice to go down to hell, oh, how solemn to think, my friend, that you tonight, if you have not Christ as your Savior, you are on the road to hell. What an awful reality. May God write it upon our soul. I want to speak it tenderly to you, friend. I once sat where you are. I know the feelings of your mind and heart tonight. And I once, without the Savior as my Savior, I was on the way to hell. Oh, thank God I found Him. Thank God He saved me by His grace. Not only is there a real hell so near to man, but there are souls that were once on earth that are in hell tonight. Oh, my friend, I ask you kindly, have you ever pondered the seriousness of going hell? How solemn it is. But as I leave this passage, I want you to consider the awful moment of meeting hell. A meeting with hell. Hell is yearning. I used to work in a place called the Carborundum Company where they make grinding wheels, sandpapers, dentist drills, all that type of thing that have to do with abrasives. And the first position I had there linked me with the plant, with the office. I worked in the office and used to have to go to the plant. And when I went through that furnace room, there was more than one occasion when I would make my way along the catwalk of that furnace room down to the office at the other end. And I want to tell you, I ran that catwalk many, many times. The reality of the crackling and the yearning of those ovens, vast open pig ovens with those great electrodes that went down into them, charging them with electricity, and men dressed in asbestos suits and large welders, goggles upon them and masks, as they would throw those bags of silicon and those bags of soda into that furnace and the coke to create that abrasive metal that they were working on. And when those bags would go in, many of the time I've heard them crackle and sizzle and the things gone. Sparks would fly. And it disappeared beneath the waves of that boiling mass. Oh, my friend, tonight that's exactly what how God described the awfulness of a sinner who died without Christ. Hell is yearning. Its very bowels are moved to lay hold of your soul and spirit and to drag you beneath its waves to stifle your cries in the doom of the damned for all eternity. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. You be wise, young man, tonight. Don't let neither the devil, nor the world, nor your peers, nor your feelings persuade you to make a wrong choice and not to seek the Savior. But as I turn to the third portion, I want you to notice a meeting place in the air. There is a day coming when those who are saved are going to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. What a happy day it will be. That night or that moment could be tonight. There is absolutely nothing pending in this world that must be fulfilled for the Lord to step to the air at the word of his Father to gather the saints away from earth, those who have trusted him as their Savior. The church is filling up. My friend, one of these moments, a last soul will be added to that glorious church, and she will be caught away to meet the Lord in the air. My, what a meeting that will be. Think of those who have lost loved ones, who have gone before that were saved. We'll meet them in glory, in a body of glory, around the Lord Jesus. Think, my friend, of meeting the Lord Jesus and gazing upon his wounded hands and feet and side. The man that loved poor sinners like us and loved us unto death. We're going to meet him. Are you ready for that moment? Oh, my friend, whatever you do, don't make the wrong choice. You'll miss the coming again of the Lord Jesus. You'll not meet him unless you are ready and saved by his grace. I must sit down, but I want to turn you to my last portion for just one moment and point you, my friend, to a place where God is able to meet with the sinner. When I look back to Calvary, I see that mercy and truth have met together, and righteousness and peace have been reconciled. They've kissed each other. My friend, that's what took place upon Golgotha's tree. Calvary's tree, my friend, was a meeting place. God's mercy and God's truth. God's truth that required the death of the sinner, and God's mercy that desired to flow out with blessing. The only way that mercy could flow out was for truth to be told out and to be, and there at Calvary, to be laid upon the Lord Jesus. And there, my friend, is the only place that God's righteousness against sin and the peace that the sinner may have could meet together. It can only be found at Calvary when God was pleased to charge his Son with man's vile sins, when God was pleased to bruise his Son and to pierce his Son, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Oh, what a message is Calvary. And my friend tonight, at the same place where divine righteousness that requires your judgment and mine, and divine mercy that desires to bless us with forgiveness and salvation, the only way that they could be reconciled is in the shed blood of Christ. And on that ground, God is willing to meet with you tonight. He's willing to take you in your helplessness and sin and ruin and condemnation and forgive you if you will come and meet him at Calvary. Calvary is the meeting place. My friend, it only presents this truth. The meeting place for sinners is not the ground of their works. The meeting place with God is not the ground of your prayers. A meeting place, my friend, with God is not the ground of your devotions. The only possible meeting place where a holy God may meet an unholy sinner is on the ground of the shed blood of Christ at Calvary. And he's willing to meet with you there tonight. That's the invitation of the gospel. Come unto me, all ye that labor
and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, sinner, in the meeting, make the right choice. Go in for God's salvation. Seek the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Come to terms with God on the basis of the work of Calvary and God's word for it. Thou shalt be saved.